Well, good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. Just come and worship God freely today. Give Him your burdens, your worries. Praise Him for His goodness, His mercy. Just come and worship. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. Praise God, for He is our strength and our shield. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just thank You for Your love and Your mercy that You pour out on us. We humbly come before You, Maker of heaven and earth. Just pour out Your Spirit on us. I just pray that You would remove anything from the enemy that is in this place. The enemy has no power over us because You are our God. You have conquered the enemy. Bring our actions, our attitudes, and our thoughts into alignment with You, Lord. I just pray that we would worship You with all of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all You've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank You. Song of praise with an outstretched arm, I'll bless Your name. Thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You,
this morning's offering, which is for the Pastoral Support Fund, and there's also the My Coins Count.
I
Okay, let us pray. And Father, we do just thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us, all the things that we honestly don't see. There's so many things in our lives that we are thankful, we are grateful for, that we notice. But you do so many things we never even see. And we thank you for those things this morning, Father. I don't know how everyone else feels, but this morning I just feel good and I'm thankful for that. And I want to thank you for that too, just for days that are better than others. Sometimes we feel great, sometimes we feel horrible. And we thank you for all of those days just that we can experience them, Father. And this morning we talked a little bit about the end times. And we look forward to that coming when Jesus comes back and takes us all to heaven. And it will be an amazing day, Father, and we thank you for that. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is my Father's world, and to my forgiven, because you were forsaken.
Yes, Lord, you are the King of our heart. That's our prayer, that we would have nothing else come before you. And just thank you that we can all be here this morning, and pray that you would speak through Tony and prepare our hearts to hear from you this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Sunday school was first held at Bowmansville in the year 1893. That was 130 years ago. Sunday school was organized by leaders who felt strongly that more instruction was needed for young people, and it appears that the youth desired this teaching, as some were leaving to attend other churches where Sunday school was already being held. At the time, the concept of Sunday school was controversial because some felt that only ordained ministers should teach the Bible. Unfortunately, the introduction of Sunday school resulted in some members leaving Bowmansville, but it also resulted in the growth of the congregation over the coming years. The need for Sunday school classrooms was one of the reasons that this building was built in 1921. At the dedication service for this building, an afternoon presentation was entitled "The Work of Sunday School." Sunday school was held here in the afternoons until the late 1940s, and then moved to the morning, as we're familiar with today. Memories shared from these early days of Sunday school include partitioned classrooms in the basement, divided by curtains, and the drone of teachers' voices carrying through from multiple classes. In 1976, this addition was added, again to meet the need for more Sunday school rooms. I am grateful for the church leaders who came before us and prepared the way for Sunday school. I feel that teaching our children, our youth, and adults in small group settings is an essential part of our local mission. This is one of the reasons that I'm supporting the facility upgrades that we're planning for our church. In addition to renovating our kitchen and bathrooms, the plans include some valuable improvements to our Sunday school rooms. The significant change is that the rooms will be larger, similar to the current double room that's next to the kitchen in the basement, which is frequently used for evening and weekday meeting activities like meetings and Bible studies, in addition to our Sunday school. My hope is that these rooms will be useful spaces for the generations to come. In addition to the larger rooms in the wing, the Sunday school wing, two of the classrooms in the main basement will be joined. The wall will be removed to make one larger classroom. Another piece of the plan is that a sound storage closet will be outside in the entryway here to store sound equipment so that the storage room over here can be used for a Sunday school room. If you're interested in seeing any of that on the plans, I can show you the drawings. And I'll give a quick update on our goals for this project and how the funds are coming along. As of the end of May, $37,500 has been committed to be given. That's of the $215,000 that we need to be committed. We have $90,750 cash in hand, and this is of the $235,000 cash that's needed to begin construction. So we are making progress. Thanks for those of you who have committed and have given already. We'll continue to provide updates. There is a large poster that's going to hang up in the overflow here that will track the cash that we've received to date. And just for bookkeeping purposes, a reminder that your checks designated for the facility upgrades project should be separate. Keep it on a separate check in a separate envelope, if possible, from your offering checks. Thanks.
Thank you, Heidi. Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How many of you are done with school? Oh, you're all done? No, maybe not quite. Got a little couple half days yet, maybe. You're almost done. You're done? Well, that's good. That's always a fun time, right? You're finally free, and you get to do all kinds of fun stuff, right? Chores around the house, you know, cleaning and other things. Oh, you should see the looks I'm getting in this area over here. They're not so good. So this morning, we're going to talk about all the things that God has made. He made the sky. He made the earth. He made all the stars in the heavens. He placed them there, and He knows each one of them. That's amazing that God knows the name of each star that is there. He made the plants. He made all the animals. Yeah, He made everything. But see, then we'll go. Hang on, I'm going the wrong way. Wrong button. There we go. So listen to what Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27 say. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock and the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So who did God make us like? Yeah, like Himself, like Jesus. We are created in the image of God. That's kind of hard to understand, isn't it? We are created in the image of God. So when you look in a mirror, and I wanted to bring a mirror along, but I forgot one. So you can pretend you're looking in a mirror, or you can look in that mirror. So when you look in a mirror, you see what? An image of yourself. Whatever you are, whoever's looking into the mirror, you see that image reflected back to you. Did you ever think about this? When I look into a mirror, I see God. That's kind of hard to understand, because I'm created in the image of God. So if I'm looking in the mirror, I kind of see what God is like. Not that we are God, because God is God and we are not. But it includes more than just what we look like, right? Because God gave us a heart and a soul and a spirit inside of us. And that's included in that when we're made in the image of God.
God made everything.
Yes, God did make everything.
He even made
the
soul.
So let's talk about, let's think about this a little bit. God and people. Does God get mad? Yes. Yes, He does. It says in the Bible that he got angry at people, especially when they didn't do as He asked them to do. Do people get mad?
Yes.
Yes, they do. Is God happy?
Yeah.
Are people happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. God is especially happy with us when we make good choices and follow what He asks us to do. Is God compassionate? Does He care about people? Yes, He does. Are people compassionate? Yeah.
Jesus cares about everybody.
He does, exactly. Does God get disappointed?
Yes.
Yeah, especially when we make a bad choice and don't follow what He asks us to do. Do people get disappointed?
Yes.
Yeah. See, God made us with emotions, and that's another part of being made in the image of God.
He has emotions too.
Yes, God has emotions. So what changed between us and God? What happened?
We
sinned, exactly. Sin came into the world. And it happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate the fruit they were not supposed to. It created a divide between us and God. But even with sin in the world and making the world fall apart, we are still made in the image of God. He still wants us to come to Him and have a relationship with Him. He cares about us, and He wants us to come to Him. So just remember that God wants to have a relationship with each one of you. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, show us each day who You are, and remind us we are made in Your image. Bless these children. Draw them close to You, building a relationship with them and You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. We'll be seeing a short video from the Sensniks now.
Greetings from Chad. After last year's flooding, the long, dry, hot season had turned everything to sand and dust. The ground was cracked and dry, and it seemed like nothing was alive. Then 1 week ago, we got some rain. And suddenly, little shoots popped up everywhere. It seemed like a miracle.
That's what Jesus says God's kingdom is like. Out of dry land, God produces life. Our prayer is that that is what God would do in Chad. With the many thousands of people arriving here in Chad, displaced by the conflict in Sudan, may God bring peace and healing.
Out of conflict, between herders and farmers, between Muslims and Christians, between different ethnic groups, that God would raise peacemakers.
Out of difficult challenges surrounding birth, that God would bring healthy babies and mothers.
And in the longing that all of us feel for God's healing and presence in our lives, that God would meet us.
We water the soil and wait for God to bring new life. Thank you for your prayers.
It is a joy and a blessing to see how the Sensniks are doing as they follow and serve God in Chad. Continue to remember them in your prayers. So just welcome again in the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. I'd like to take a minute right now to pray for our nation and lift up our nation and our leaders. I believe it is our duty as the body of Christ to be praying for them. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we can freely gather to praise and worship You. We ask You to come and be with our nation and draw us back to You. Lord, remove the scales from people's eyes so that they can see You and open ears to hear Your word. Make people's hearts ready to receive Your word and You as their Lord. Bring clarity to the mind of our leaders. Just bring our nation back to You. I pray that You would protect all those who serve our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning is the start of a sermon series looking at how God has designed us. We'll be looking at different aspects of our design, because if we don't know how God has designed us, then we won't know how to face the world that is around us. We will lose our true identity, and the world around us, they are suffering from what is an identity crisis that is unimaginable. All the strange things that people are doing stem from not knowing who has designed them, who has created them, and it says it is God. God has made each one of us in His image. And the title of our message this morning is God has designed us to love and be loved. Every person wants to be loved. It is a desire in us. Every child wants to hear their parents say, "I love you." Every person wants to have relationships with others. Even if you're an introvert and you need to have some quiet time, you still want to have relationships with others. Whether it's family or friends, we have this desire to have people around us so that we know that we are loved and we can show love back to them. It is built in us. God put it in us. He put it in our hearts and our souls because God created man. He breathed life into him. And he said his creation is very good. God gave Adam and Eve instructions in the garden so that they would not hurt themselves. God knew the pain and the anguish that would accompany eating the fruit that was in the middle of the garden. And it was not just for Adam and Eve, it is for all the generations to come. It says in Jeremiah 31:3 that God has loved his people with an everlasting love. We can see God as he calls Abraham and turns him into a nation. He proves this again and again. And he proves it again when he sends Jesus to this earth to make a way for all of us to come to the Father. Is there a greater love than this, than God sending his Son for us? Romans 5:8 tells us that God loved us while we were still against him. We were sinners and against God, and God loved us. He showed us compassion. God's love for all of us, it goes beyond anything that we can imagine. 1 John 3:1-2. Born of him, see what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not been yet revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. God went even further than just loving us enough to send Jesus to us. He adopts us as heirs, as sons and daughters, and we will see him how he truly is. We will see him face to face one day. John 3:16-18. 1 John 3:16-18. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need but withholds compassion for him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. Our actions show that we have the love of God in us. God's actions prove his love for us repeatedly. He is faithful, making a covenant with us that he will keep, proving his love for us. How many of you love to give gifts to others, whether you're good at it or bad at it? How many of you love to give gifts to others? Yeah, I see a lot of hands. We get joy from seeing our loved ones, our friends, receive gifts. And God has built that into us, this giving nature to show love to those around us. God has shown us how to love through everything that he does. He created us out of his love for us. And this shows us that we are created out of love to show love to others. But the problem started when Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden. Their love for God was turned toward the idea of receiving knowledge and being like God. They loved the fruit and what it represented more than they loved God in that moment. Throughout the Bible, God has called the nation of Israel to a relationship with Him. God tells them over and over that He is just waiting there for them to come back to Him so He can pour out His love on them. They just need to come to Him and receive it. They need to stop chasing after idols and things of this world that bring temporary happiness, not the eternal love and fulfillment that only comes from God. What did the children of Israel do? Well, they followed false gods, worshiping them and loving them. In Exodus 32, Moses was on the mountain receiving the stone tablets from God while the Israelites were down in the valley worshiping a golden calf that they had made. Their love for God turned to an idol instead of the God who delivered them from slavery and captivity. So why did they turn their love to this object? Well, they could touch this calf. They could see it. They could feel it. It didn't take any faith to love this calf, but it takes faith to love God. Ephesians 3:17 to 19. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. It takes faith to love God. Something that you can't see, something that you can't touch. And it takes faith to look around our world and see God at work and see all that He is doing and that He is there, He is working, He is pouring out His love that He has for us. Faith to believe in the love that Jesus has for us and has shown us, this love that God has for us. And there'll be this constant fight in us to worship and love what we can see and feel. And this will happen until Christ returns, ushering in His kingdom, a perfection that we will never see until that happens. Well, Moses comes down from the mountain, and God brings correction on His people. Why? Because He loves them. He cares for them. He made a covenant with them. Even though they abandoned His covenant, He did not. He showed His faithful love for Israel. They would follow Him for a while, and then they would go back into living for this world and loving the world instead of God. And God would correct them, showing His love. He did not abandon them. God, He could have wiped them out, but He didn't do that. He made a covenant, and He goes beyond anything that we could have imagined. He demonstrates how truly great His love is for everyone. John 3:16 and 17, for God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through Him. God was showing His true love for us, sending Jesus to us to pay for our sins, giving us a way to be with Him if we believe in Him. God sent Jesus to save us because He loves us. It's so hard to understand how much God loves and cares for us. And since God created us, He is love. And we are created to love and be loved. We are made in His image. And we see this throughout Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that we can have all these amazing spiritual gifts and do all these amazing things, but yet if we don't have love, we have nothing. They mean nothing. They're but a noise. And so you look at the world today and everyone is searching for love to give it and to receive it. People are running towards anything that they think will fill the emptiness that is inside. The emptiness in their hearts. 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world chases after these things. And if we're not living for God and having Him first in our lives, we can get caught into this trap as well. Here are some things that people give their love to instead of God. Right? This group of people, they accepted me. I'm going to change who I am to fit their ideals. I'm going to love them and stand up for them because they showed me acceptance. Do you want true acceptance? Do you want true love? Come to Jesus. Jesus doesn't have agendas. He doesn't have strings attached. His love is truly for us. Why? Because we are made in His image. Maybe they give their love to money. Just look at the wealth that those people have. I want that. People will love me if I have money. I can give things to others once I have enough of my own. Luke 18:18-23. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. I have kept all these from my youth," he said. When Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. This rich young ruler followed the commandments, yet Jesus was saying, "You lack one thing." Jesus tells him to sell the stuff that he has. Give up his position of power and follow me. The ruler was extremely sad because he loved all of his stuff and his position that he had. His love was for his money over God. It wasn't about the money. It was about where his love was. His love was for his money and not for God. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either they will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. There is and will never be enough money to fill the void, that longing in our hearts and our souls, that it can only be met with a relationship with Jesus. With money comes status. And this is another area. That rich young ruler would have had status as well. If I'm famous, I will be loved by all these people. This is pride. The love of self. That's their focus. Listen to Isaiah 14:13-14. You said to yourself, "I will ascend to the heavens. I will set up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of God's assembly in the remotest part of the north. I will ascend above the highest clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Satan had pride. The love of self in him. He wanted to be God. He was created to serve God, and he was thrown out of heaven. This love of self, this love of status, this pride, it will cause us to fall, just like it did Satan. When we worship self and status, we will fall. Our true design is to love God. Everything else, it's counterfeit compared to that, to the love of God. Loving the flesh and loving pleasure happen all over this world. It feels good, it must be love. If I can't feel it, then they don't love me. Why do you think the divorce rates in our country are so high? Too many times we rely on feelings instead of standing on God's promises that he is faithful to keep and has kept from the very beginning. Many people get caught up in a fantasy world that is not real, trying to find love, to feel something. This loving of pleasure and chasing after it outside of the context that God says is right, it just brings destruction and emptiness, which causes people to chase pleasure even more because they're trying to feel something. And this vicious cycle keeps going until there's nothing left but destruction. God has designed us to live and to love him first. When God is first in our lives, and we love him over everything else, money, things, people, power, pleasure, they all fall into their right place where God has designed them to be. In closing, we need to look at every aspect of our lives. Is God number one in our hearts? See, we are made to love by God. God made us to love him. Then we can truly show his love to our families, our friends, and to the world around us. It's God coming through us. And that's why it's important to know that we are made in the image of God to show love that is from him. And the way that we show God's love to others shows who is truly number one in our hearts. So who is first in your hearts? Who was first? Is it God? Is it something else? Is it someone else? Who was first? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are made in your image. Help us to see this each day. You made us to love and be loved. You made us in your image. Let your love that we have for you be first in our lives. And I pray that we can show the love of Jesus to everyone that we meet. This true, unfailing, pure, unwavering love. Fill us with your Spirit. Let us go throughout our day and show the love of Jesus to everyone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Want to draw your attention to a couple notes in your bulletin. One about next Sunday, we're going to be in the park. We're going to have Sunday school. It's going to end a little early, and then we're going to go to the park and have a community worship service. So I invite you all there. You can see the rest of the note in the bulletin. And there's a list of names entering into the discernment process for associate pastor. Please pray for each one of them this week as we are going to be meeting on Wednesday. So will you stand for the parting benediction? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you. Walk in the love of Jesus. Go in peace. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week.